Today on Real Radio.
We're not going to be studying something that just happened 2,000 years ago. It's going to come home to roost in our hearts for a couple of reasons. The first reason is because we are all travelers. If you want to believe that or not, every one of us are travelers. You are going somewhere. If you want to face up to it or not, the fact of the matter is you will reach a destination.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We begin a mini-series taken from chapters 27 and 28 called God's Priceless Cargo. The title implies a metaphor taken from the text. You see, Paul is traveling by sea to Rome, and things get quite tempestuous over the bounding main. Yet it seems the apostle was not too bothered by it all, and we'll learn why. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The theme of the entire book of Acts is found in Acts 1, verses 7 and 8, but specifically verse 8, where the Lord says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And the Lord would say this morning, have you had that happen to you? He says, "You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And as we approach this chapter, it's going to be the grace of God that we get through this, but we've really got to go all the way to verse 38. And to capture that this morning, rather than read all the way through it, we're just going to go in the text of it, in the context through it. I don't know about you, but there's one thing I've learned in traveling, and it seems that you know we're having to need to travel more and more. And whenever you travel, there's one thing I've learned, especially after making my 10th trip to Russia, I'm learning to pack extremely light. What used to be, oh boy, I need this and I got to have the other, has been absolutely a curse and a burden. And you know, you pack 10 pants for 5 days of being there, and you know, in Russia or somewhere else, I never seem to get out of two pairs of pants. So now what I do is I pack very lightly. In fact, if I can't get it in carry-on, I'm not going to take it. I'm not into checking baggage anymore. And I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to walk on the plane and put it in the overhead compartment or underneath my feet and go with it. And that's another reason why wool light and deodorant is a great thing to have. Pack lightly. And I'm always grateful looking out the window as we're on that plane and they're loading on the last few items of baggage. You've been there, haven't you? You've seen it. The truck pulls up and the guys grab the stuff and just heave it on there. And it says fragile, handle with care, right? And they're just throwing it onto the plane. They're thinking that you're not looking or paying attention. And you see your bag go careening across the sky into the cargo bay of that airplane. And you're wondering, oh great, is that ice carving or that vase going to make it, you know? And, you know, I think they see on the tag mangle with care instead of handle with care. But listen, the title of the message this morning is God's priceless cargo or precious cargo. God has priceless or precious cargo. And we may see how things are handled in this world and in this life, but God has precious cargo that He has in this world, and He is committed to seeing that it travels right. And we're going to be looking at the life of Paul as he's on his way now to Rome. If you remember in our last time together, he was going through all the trials and all of the situations of the courtroom hearing with Felix and with Agrippa and the whole gang. And now he's being carted off to Rome by way of ship. And we're going to be very much acquainted with this as we get into this morning. But listen to this. The events recorded before us are very, very important to us. And I don't want you to miss anything. You really need to see yourself in this chapter. Please don't tune out. Don't check out. Get a notebook. Get a pen right now in front of you and grab that thing and be ready to apply what we're looking at. We're not going to be studying something that just happened 2,000 years ago. It's going to come home to roost in our hearts for a couple of reasons. The first reason is because we are all travelers. If you want to believe that or not, every one of us are travelers. You are going somewhere. If you want to face up to it or not, the fact of the matter is you will reach a destination. No matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we plan on, a destination has been determined. So we're all travelers. Another reason is that we will be traveling with believers and with non-believers, just like Paul will be right here in our study this morning. There's no way out of it. You might think, well, I'd like to work at a church, you know, just work with believers. No, you don't. You don't want to do that. There's nothing for me more exciting than to work with a bunch of non-believers. That's why in this church we hire only non-believers. No, I'm kidding. Just joking. That's why they didn't return my call. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. But I love the world. Not the things of the world, but I love the people out in the world. Knocking on doors this Thursday night. The people who responded to the questionnaire, we would ask them, do you pray? Yes, I pray. But some of them said, I don't believe in God. But they said they prayed. And we ran into this one woman who believes that all is one, one is all, and it's a new age, all-encompassing belief, and the trees are God, and she's God, and we're God, and all this stuff. And the questioner said, do you pray? Yes, I do. And I asked her, well, I'm curious, earlier in the questionnaire, you said you pray. Who do you pray to? And she got caught in a little dilemma with herself because she was trying to call the creation an it, but she kept referring to he out of her own mouth. We are among believers and non-believers. It's just the way God's made it, and I like it that way. Another reason that we need to be attentive to the study before us is that there will be difficulties arising along the way. Every one of us in this sanctuary this morning will have trials and tribulations. Even if you never become a Christian, you're still going to have rough times and crisis in your life. But hey, if you want to get through them and succeed through them, Jesus is the answer. The fourth and final reason why we need to pay attention this morning is that there is a reason for everything that happens in our lives as believers. As believers. Isn't that good news? I don't know what you're going through today, but you can take a deep breath and relax knowing that God knows about it and knew before it ever came into your life. That's what the Word of God decrees and declares. But God is so very good. We're talking about us being precious cargo. God is concerned about who you are. I want to say this real quick before we jump into the first point. If you're a believer this morning, you have within you the gospel truth of Jesus Christ, the Bible, in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you and that truth lies within you, you are literally packaged with a gospel that will change the course of the world and people's lives. Because that's true, you are most precious in His sight. And that's why you or I should never experience burnout in this life. Because God is more interested in you, the missionary, than the mission. God is more interested in you, the messenger, than the message. He will see to it that His truth is worked out in your life and that what He has decreed in His Word is active in you and alive in you. And when that begins to happen, your life will flow out of the message. Your life will spill out the good news of Christ. But I thank my God that He's not some kind of a cosmic user that would have us pound an existence out, trying to be good enough, trying to earn His approval, trying to somehow be someone that we're not, to meet His demands when He looks at us in Christ and loves us completely. He will never abuse you. We are a priceless cargo. By way of introduction, you ought to jot this verse down because it applies so much to this study that we will get into, and Paul and us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ, the Lord Jesus, and ourselves a bondservant for Christ's sake. For it is God who has commanded light to shine into the darkness, who has shown in our own hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels," that's who we are, "that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us." Jesus said something that continually blows my mind in John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you that He who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do them also. And greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. Meaning he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? The works that you and I can do are greater than Jesus Christ in the meaning of evangelism. Jesus was localized in the area of Palestine. But he said that he would send the Holy Spirit to propel us out into the world, that we would take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's who we are. It's awesome. First point, verses 1 through 8. God sends us by special delivery. And I like this. Verse 1. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some of the prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship bound for Adramatia, we put to sea, meaning to sail, along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day, we landed in Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, that's the centurion, and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. He went to a church that was in the area. I want you to look quickly at verses 1 through 3. We see that Paul was well packaged by God. Isn't this a beautiful thing? Listen, Christian, what I like about this is in verse 1 it says we. You want to know who we is? We is Aristarchus and we is Luke with Paul. Three of them on a ship that is bound for Rome. And we're going to see in a moment it's going to be a huge ship. But God had engineered for Paul to have fellowship with Luke. Who was Luke? The author of the book of Acts and the author of the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician. But what you don't might know or remember is that physicians in those days were slaves to wealthy owners of many things and properties and things and all. And so when Luke came to faith in Christ, he probably dedicated his practice to Paul. He's with Paul always. Luke, being a doctor, was with him, and then Aristarchus was with him. Aristarchus was a man who committed his life as a slave to Paul. Ultimately, of course, to the Lord Jesus. But basically, he was saying, Paul, where you go, I go. And Paul was well packaged, and so are you, Christian. No matter where you can go to somewhere, and certainly you want God to be leading you. If you're going to move to Detroit, you want to make sure God's leading you. Especially if you move to Detroit, you want to make sure that God is leading you. But God's got Christians in Detroit. Where are you going? God will have Christians there. We've mentioned before, it doesn't matter where you're at. God will have Christians there. It's a great thing. It's the way he works. Paul is there, Aristarchus and Luke's with them on this ship, and these two men willfully yielded their lives to the ministry of Paul the Apostle. Such commitment is so commendable, not only in that day, but have you seen anything in this day and age where people will be so committed? I think of people like Ira Sankey. He was committed to Dwight L. Moody from early on, all the way through his ministry. And then Cliff Barrows, who's committed to Billy Graham through all the ministry years. And may God have it be in our remembrance or in our knowledge that there's a man somewhere, maybe in the ministry that you've come from or the ministry that you're at or the ministry that you're going, where God has brought in faithful men to stand alongside. An Aaron, you know, and a Hur to hold up the hands of Moses. So God does it here. And it's a beautiful thing to realize. He's going to do it for us too. Not only is Paul well packaged, look through verses 4 and 8. We see that there's difficulties along the way, but listen, it's not always in opposition to us. This is a hard one for us to swallow. It says in verse 4, when we had put to sea from there, I went through my Bible and circled the we's and the us's, and we had put to sea from there and sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. You ought to underline that. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is from Cilicia and Pamphylia, and came to Myra, a city of Lycia, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship coming out of Egypt, sailing to Italy. And no doubt it would have been a grain vessel of corn. Rome was the number one chief buyer of corn from Egypt, from Alexandria. And we were put on board. Verse 7. And when we had sailed, listen, underline it, slowly many days, and arrived, underline this, with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Listen, do you see what I'm seeing here? Verse 4, difficulty because of the winds being contrary. Look at verse 7. Slowly, many days, they sailed with difficulty, verse 7. Verse 8 again, difficulty. Listen, was Paul right in the middle of the will of God? He was. Then why wasn't the boat going a little, why wasn't the trip a little easier? He was right in the middle of God's will. God told Paul, you're going to preach the gospel for me in Rome. And God has placed Paul not only well packaged with a fellowship of two men with him, but he's on a ship that's bound for the destination that he's to be going to. And don't you think that if you're right in the middle of God's will, that it's going to go just A-OK? Don't you think for a minute? Well, I wouldn't like to believe that. The Bible says that all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. I'm not going to mention his name, but there's been a Bible produced. And it's the Positive Thinker's Bible. And I got to get one. I want to see if that verse is in there. All those who live godly will suffer persecution. Well, that's not a very positive thing on the surface, you know. But it is according to God and his economy. He's in the middle of God's will, and you may be right in the middle of the will of God, and things are rough. And what are we saying? What do we do so often? God, have you left me? Where are you? My goodness, you know, we plan a trip or we get ready to do something and our pencil breaks while we're making our list out. Oh no, is God in it or not? Oh no. It's almost like throw salt over your shoulder and, you know, go back from underneath the ladder. Was that a black cat that passed in front of us? Give me a break. The Holy Spirit in us, the gospel that we follow, God ahead of us, is more resilient than all that. It's with difficulties. You may have brought a friend here this morning saying, oh man, I wanted them to accept the Lord today. What are you doing? Hey, well, here's the punchline. You're going to have difficulties in life. You're going to be riding on a boat. Only three of these guys out of 276 people were Christians. And they're all in the boat together. We're all in this boat together. And Jesus is the one that will get at least three of these guys through. Why are you yelling? I'm just so excited about this. I need this. I'm having a rough time, man. And I need this right now. Psalm 91. By next Sunday, you need to memorize Psalm 91. But anyway, I'm just going to give you a couple verses. Greatest psalm in the book this week. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. God speaking. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Psalm 91:14. Is that great or what? God has promised. God will do that. You can take that verse and plaster it on your refrigerator and wait for it to happen. It will happen. God is so committed to us. And the things that are going on in this portion of Scripture regarding life's difficulties is that life prepares us for eternity as Christians. But also this, the things of life not only prepares the Christian, it also causes the world to panic. My goodness, did you see the news this morning? I pulled this off America Online this morning, the horrible, again, to the almost to the minute bombing in Israel. Israel has now declared war on the Hamas, and they said they will spare no armaments, no manpower, no ideas, no effort to annihilate them. And the recent publication just came across the news wire is now the terrorist organizations say that they have now banded together and they're going to destroy Israel. This is on the news this morning. Better hang on to your seats. Listen, the world is in a panic. Suicide in America and suicide across the world. Suicide in Germany at all-time high. Unfortunately, and sad to say, in Germany, it's among the youth. But our youth is catching up, sad to say. No hope. Life will do that to you, you know. There's no promises given except that which is in Christ Jesus. The second point I want you to see in verses 9 to 12, and that is the world will always have an answer or a plan. Of course, the storm is raging, life is difficult, so watch what happens. Verse 9, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Now this is kind of funny. The fast being already over means the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was passed. That means this is the year 59 AD. So that means it was on October 5th. They're sailing at least after October 5th when you're not supposed to sail. Are you with me? Mediterranean gets very hostile, very dangerous. So Paul, that's why it says right here it was after the fast. So it was after October 5th, the year 59. So here's Paul. This is almost funny. Paul advises them, saying, verse 10, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of lives. He's a little Jewish guy. They're sailors. Excuse me. Got a little yarmulke on. These guys have got, you know, sailor hats, yo-ho, you know, pirate's life for me thing. They're sailing, and it's tough, and you hear this little guy, maybe stand on the box, excuse me, I think this thing's going to flop. Doesn't look good to me. And I could just see these guys pulling ropes and stuff and looking at this little Jewish guy. Who is this guy? Paul advises them. The word perceive here is an excellent word. It means to discern as a spectator. But it also means to discern correctly, to consider the situation and to render a conclusion. You know what Paul's doing? He's looking around, he's saying, this doesn't look good. Yeah, he was not a sailor, but he was a rabbi and he knew the Lord very much. But you got to put yourself in this little boat for a minute, or this big boat for a minute, and realize Paul, though, is a very famous man. And they've heard about his faith in God, no doubt. And they knew that he was a prisoner. He would have been bound as a prisoner. He may not have been a sailor, but he was this rabbi. But listen to this. He's the only guy on the ship that was probably qualified to be able to say, excuse me, I think you ought to listen to me. I've already been shipwrecked 3 times in my life. That probably got their attention. I've seen this happen before. Why did he say that? Because as we mentioned in verse 9, the fast was over and the storms were intense. By the way, by the time he reaches Rome, they would have been at sea on and off for 6.5 to 7 months to go very few miles. But Paul was discerning.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called God's Priceless Cargo, a metaphor taken from the text of chapters 27 and 28. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more, so be sure and join us. We are nearing the end of the book of Acts, and so if you want to hear it again, starting from the beginning, we've made it easy. What we've done is condensed its entirety all onto one MP3 CD. So, as is often the case, our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it out to you. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Starting with our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And by the way, if you missed any of this contact information, it can all be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.